Thank you, worship leaders. And Shauna, the book of Leviticus, it was a few weeks ago as I was preparing for the message about the greatest commandment. Jesus talked about the greatest commandment and to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second Jesus said is likened to the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, from the book of Leviticus. I thought, what a book to hear the heart of God. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the heart of God right in the middle of the law. Everything God expressed in the Old Testament, in the five books, the first five books, and what we think of as the law of Moses, comes down to those two things, loving God with all that we are and loving our neighbor as ourself, and how all the law and the prophets hang on that. The book of Leviticus, too, is a precious book. Don't think of it that often, read it that often, but it certainly is. I'm so glad you're here today. I'm glad and thankful for the privilege and opportunity to be together for worship this morning, to worship the Lord today. We do have so much to be thankful for. I know that I have so much to be thankful for, and if I would just start talking about those things, I'd be here a lot longer than you'd want me to be, I'm sure. But my heart today is full of thanks to God for so many things in my life that God has allowed and blessed, and spiritual things and family and things around me. And so today, on what I think of as Thanksgiving Sunday, although last week is Thanksgiving, every Sunday should be Thanksgiving Sunday for us, but today I'm especially thinking about that area of my life and our life as a church family. A thankful spirit is always a choice. To have a thankful spirit is always a choice. It's a decision we make in the depth of our hearts in response to who God is, a response of gratitude to the Creator and who's in charge, along with that decision of faith. And we make the choice, do we believe that God is who He says He is? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I think of how important the decision of faith is, and also how important a decision of thankfulness is in our hearts. You know, there's just such a fine line between having a thankful spirit and not having a thankful spirit, and it comes down to the attitude in our hearts and how we respond and listen to and look at an almighty God. I'd like to read the story this morning of Jesus and the 10 lepers. I mentioned it a few minutes ago, Luke chapter 17. If you'd like to read along with me, I want to read verses 11 through 19 and speak to you this morning for a few minutes about the fruit of a thankful heart and a prayer that we're going to watch in a video in a few minutes about a thankful heart. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all the 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." I wonder if this story is how God sometimes sees the church. I don't mean necessarily our church, although our church is part of the church, but how God sometimes sees His people and how they look at life and how they view the circumstances in their life and respond to the things around them. I wonder if this story kind of reflects to the heart of God something about how we have a tendency and a natural tendency not to remember and not to attribute to God the wonder of who He is and the miraculous hand of life that He allows for us. I wonder if God looks at our church and says, "Are you the 10 lepers? And where's the one? And where's the 9 among you?" I wonder today if God would examine our hearts and be able to give us some real individual feedback. What would God say about what He sees in your heart and in my heart? And my life in the daily attitude of responsiveness to who He is. There are some similarities, I think, in this story to the church today. There's some things when I've been reading and thinking about this story this week that just kind of, at least on the inside, they seem to have some parallels. I notice in this story that all 10 lepers had an opportunity to encounter Jesus. All 10 of them had the same opportunity to meet Jesus when He was walking along that border between Samaria and Galilee, and they all encountered Jesus. And I think today in the church that every single one of us have an opportunity to listen to and hear and encounter the presence of Jesus. It's not as if Jesus stayed outside and away from these lepers and He did not allow Himself to come in contact with them. Jesus probably knew where they would be, probably from experience knew where the lepers were outside of the town, and yet He came by to see them. And in the same way, I have to believe that Jesus knows exactly where you are and I am in our lives, and both physically and emotionally and spiritually, Jesus knows right where we're at and He comes to us. I see a similarity in this story between the presence of Jesus with the lepers and the presence of Jesus in our lives. And all of them had the same healing, the same capability of receiving help from Jesus. Jesus came by and He doesn't say He picked out four of the lepers or four of them that maybe had lived the best life, the best moral life, or the two of them that were outstanding in their communities before they were lepers, but Jesus treated them all the same and He healed all 10 of them, no matter who they were or where they were from or whether they were Jewish or where they were from Galilee or Samaria. Jesus healed them all. I think about the love of God and the grace of God that He offers to us through Jesus on the cross, and every single one of us have that same opportunity to know His hand and know His grace. I do notice in this story also that all 10 lepers acknowledge Jesus. And this is kind of key to me when I read this story and I thought about this. It says in verse 12, as He was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met Him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." I noticed that in this part of the story, all 10 of the men that were involved had a loud voice. They all were able to express themselves, and they cried out for Jesus to help him. They stood outside of the town, of course, because that was the Jewish law. They could not be inside a certain perimeter within the city or the town, and they had to live outside and in their own community. And so there they were, living outside of town. But when Jesus came by, they had the voice, they had the ability to call out to Jesus. And I think another similarity to us today, we in this service this morning, in this place, here we are this morning in this place built for us to come and acknowledge and call out to Jesus. We have the opportunity to do that too. Every single one of us today have the same opportunity as the 10 lepers to call out to Jesus. Not because we have the condition of leprosy, but because everything else in our lives gives us the privilege and the opportunity to call out to God, to Jesus, who said, "He who cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Jesus today is the same Jesus that was there with the lepers, and He cares about everything in our lives, and we can call out to Him. Isn't it so nice today that we have this beautiful, comfortable building to come and gather together? We know that this building is not the church. The church is God's people together, but people have given and sacrificed and over the years have made it so we could come to this place and sit in padded pews and call out to Jesus. We really have a great privilege and an opportunity and should be very thankful for many things that God's allowed for us and just the opportunity to be together this morning and worship Him. Had an opportunity to talk to my friend Vinay in India 2 times this past week about some things that are going on in India, and reminded of how not everywhere around the world people can come into a place like this and worship the Lord and be able to call out to Him without fear of reprisal and oppression. We do have so much to be thankful for in being here today. The fact that we are all here today is very good, but I'm reminded that being here isn't the same as having a thankful heart. A lot of people can come into this place and sit down and be a part of this service and be a part of what we call worship and not have a thankful heart. But there's something else that God calls for us. These 10 men called out to the Lord, but yet Not all of them had a thankful heart. Jesus healed all 10 of them. Listen to what he says in verse 17. It says, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? I believe Shauna mentioned a little bit ago when she was reading some scriptures, whose responsibility is it to be thankful and express gratitude? Is it somebody else's responsibility to be thankful for you? Is there somebody else that's in your life or in this church? Is it our music leader's responsibility? Is it your pastor's job to have a thankful heart for you and to express thanks? I mean, is there something that I'm supposed to do up here? And, you know, I don't do flips very well. I don't land very well anyway, you know. Is there something that I'm supposed to do in order to help you to praise God? We all know the answer to that. It's within you and in your heart and your responsiveness to God for every single one of us. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. So the question this morning that I'm thinking about from this story is what about me? What about right now? What about my attitude and my spirit and my heart? Is there anything inside of me that keeps me from having a responsive heart to a great and a mighty God? Is there anything keeping me from a thankful spirit? What am I waiting for today? What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for God to do something else? I kind of said to our worship team before the service as I was coming up the aisle a few minutes before 9 o'clock, is there anything else that God needs to do this morning in this service before we can praise Him? I mean, is there anything else that God is responsible for that we need to wait on before our hearts are overflowing with thankfulness and praise? Is there anything else that God hasn't done already that He needs to in order for us to give Him our very best in responsiveness to Him? Is there anything else that God owes us? Is there anything else that God, you know, hasn't quite done that He needs to or should before everything inside of us should respond in thankfulness to Him? What are we waiting for? Does God need to do something else before we're ready to really praise Him and love Him and serve Him and respond to Him? I guess it's kind of a prayer of my heart. God, don't let it be about something else that needs to happen before I can be a person of a thankful heart before You. God, help me today. Help me today to live a thankful spirit before You. I want to invite you to watch this 2-minute video. Listen to the prayer. It's a prayer about how we look at thankfulness before God. Oops.
Lord, cure us of our addiction. Waiting for the next season of life to think we're good enough. Waiting for the next number on the scale to say we're okay enough. Waiting for the next dream, the next house, the next step up. The next bend in the road that finally makes us feel we've arrived at contentment. Forgive us, Lord, for our waiting room addiction. Addicted to always thinking we're in a waiting room. Counting down the days till we enter real life. When real life is happening right now. And You are the one waiting for us to give You thanks for the miracle of now. Wake us up out of our waiting room addiction.
I'm 25 days thankful for our baby's laughter.
I'm 15 days thankful that who I am is enough.
And cure us with thanksgiving.
I'm 3 months thankful for where I'm living right now.
I'm 45 days thankful for my life now.
Show us how we have room in our lives to give You thanks. Right now.
I'm 3 weeks thankful that I have a job to provide for my family.
I'm 1 day thankful for the gift of now.
being thankful right now. We can be addicted to waiting for something else to happen in our lives before we have a thankful spirit and express thankfulness to God. But today is the day to be thankful. Today is the day to say to God, thank you for who you are. We know that God has done enough for us to have a thankful spirit. He's done enough to deserve our gratitude and our very best. Sometimes we get focused on what we don't have or what we could have or what we might have, and somehow the enemy takes the joy from our hearts and our lives and takes away the joy of right now, today, in our relationship with God and what He has done for us. Our attitude can be, only if this would happen, or what if I had this, or if this just would kind of come my way, then life would be good. Then I would be thankful. But there's something about who God is today that we need to be reminded of. Today is the day of thanksgiving. Otherwise, life goes by and 9 lepers go back to their lives and they lose out on the greatest blessing of the whole miracle that Jesus performed for them. 10 people can have the same experiences. 10 lepers did. 10 of them had the same circumstances. But one of them came back and honored God and glorified God and praised Him. There's a certain fruit of a thankful heart. There's a lot of fruit of a thankful heart. A lot of things that happen when we have a thankful heart. One of them that comes to my mind so clearly is the fruit of joy. I'm not sure whether it's like the chicken or the egg. I'm not sure which exactly comes first, whether it's a thankful spirit leads to joy or joy leads to a thankful spirit. But I know they're related. I think of the book of Philippians, how those two are related in the book of Philippians, how important joy is and how important a thankful spirit is. Another fruit of a thankful heart. Would you go on to that next slide, please, Nate? Another fruit of the thankful heart is genuine worship of an awesome God. A couple more slides there, Nate. Got a little behind there. Thank you. That's where I wanted to be. I appreciate it. Genuine worship. I want to say the Bible says a lot about what a thankful heart produces, and one of them is a thankful heart. A truly thankful heart produces genuine worship and beautiful worship. I just think of this story, and I think of what happened to this man who had a thankful spirit. Let me read it one more time. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him, and he was the Samaritan. What happens when we recognize who God is, and that's really deep in our hearts, and we have a thankful spirit, we'll want to worship Him. We'll want to do something, throw ourselves down before Him or express in some way or somehow acknowledge within or externally the wonder of who God is. A thankful spirit produces genuine worship. When we have a thankful spirit, our hearts will overflow with giving back to God the glory that's due His name. I think of Hebrews chapter 12 and 28. You go on to that next slide, Nate. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 says, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. You realize what this says? It says that there is an acceptable way to worship God and an unacceptable way to worship God. I can't tell you exactly what that is. What we must do is come before God's Spirit with hearts that are thankful and humble. And have worship that's pleasing to God. Let us be thankful and worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. There's something about how we see God that causes us to have worship that's acceptable for Him. There is acceptable worship, and there's unacceptable worship. What do you think the difference is? I just ask you this morning to think for a minute. What do you think makes your worship acceptable to God? Whether you're here together, or you're at home and you're having quiet time with God, what do you think makes your worship acceptable to God? I know I don't ask you questions in the middle of my sermon very often, but maybe I'll get a response here. What makes, do you believe in your heart, your worship acceptable to God? Humility? Humility? What's that? Sincerity? Thank you. The condition of your hearts.
Your attitude.
What else? What do you think makes your worship acceptable to God? I mean, clearly there can be acceptable or not acceptable. Go ahead. Okay, our attitude toward others. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. We know that when it's not right, then it comes between our worship and God. Yeah, very good. Thank you. What makes your worship acceptable to God? Anything else come to your minds? Our worship is for Him. We worship together. There's an element of being together that's important. But our worship is for Him. It's really not for us, although the benefits to us are great. Pastor Shane. Okay, thank you. Through the cross, okay? Anybody else? What makes your worship acceptable to God? When you sense and you feel in your life, you know, I feel like I've really worshiped God and I've connected to the Spirit of God. Why is it? What is it? Anything else? Obedience? Okay. No substitute for that, is there? Obedience. And I'm thinking the story of Saul. I brought all the animals and sacrificed them, and you know, I've done everything. And the prophet comes and says, I can't remember the verse, but basically says, why do I hear the animals in the background? Is it to obey better than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams? Thank you. Anything else? What makes your worship? I'm sorry?
Reverence.
Certainly put in there reverence and awe. Keeping God who He is. Don't you want your worship to be acceptable to God? I mean, you give a lot of time to it. Do you want your heart to be acceptable? Anything else? Thank you. Any other thoughts? Let me talk about one more fruit of a thankful spirit. And that is expression. I want to talk about expression of thankfulness. It's one thing to have a thankful heart. And that's the most important. That's the beginning place, is the heart. I mean, everything about God begins in the heart. And it's out of the heart that the mouth speaks, the Proverbs say. Out of the heart, it comes out in what we say and what we do and our actions. But what we express is important too. God not only cares about what's on the inside and the deep part of all those things, that many of the things that you mentioned, of obedience and attitude and humility, all those things kind of are part of the heart, but God also cares about what comes out. And there's a lot of scriptures that talk about how important how we express our thanksgiving is too. God cares also about the expression of our thanksgiving. And there's a lot of scriptures that remind us and tell us about that. If it's on the inside, then it finds a way out. Again, one more time in this story, what does this man do? He came back praising God in a loud voice. I noticed that earlier he called out in a loud voice, Jesus, have mercy on me. But a thankful spirit, he kept calling out in a loud voice. He didn't all of a sudden not have a loud voice anymore. In fact, he had a loud voice to praise God, and he did so. And a thankful heart finds expression. I know that we're different. Some of us are louder than others, and some of us are more expressive than others. But I want to say how much the Bible tells us the importance of expressing our faith is. Because one of the reasons is, one of the ways that we have a witness in other people's lives is for them to see what we believe in our hearts and how we express about God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Look at this verse with me. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him. Think with me about that a little bit. This is saying, you are God's people. Why? One of the reasons that you are God's people is so that you will declare the praises of Him. There's something about how God designed us and made us. He made us to praise Him. He made us to worship Him. You know, one of the confessions, Westminster Confession, is Our duty is to praise and worship God. That's why we were made. That's why we were designed. That's what the Bible says. So praise is important. The verbalization of our thanksgiving is important. It begins in the heart, and that's the first foundational place. But also, the Bible talks about how we express it. That's why there's such a tradition in the church and in the body of Christ over 2,000 years and before of singing. God made us a people of music in our hearts. It's part of how we're designed. And so it's important that we express that. And the Bible is full of references to the importance of singing and declaring our worship and our praise to God. Psalm chapter 100, verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And so He tells us to come not only with thanksgiving inside us, but also with praise that comes out of Him. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. We think, well, what does the Bible say about thanksgiving and praise? It tells us to be thankful on the inside, and it tells us to express it on the outside. Be thankful unto Him and praise His name. One more, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 from the New Testament. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music. Where? First, you make it in your heart. First, it's in your heart. Then always give thanks to God the Father for everything. You see how both sides of our praise and our thanksgiving is important to God. And there's so many scriptures that talk about both sides, both what's on the inside of the heart and then what comes out of us and how important it is to make that decision to do that. A thankful heart will always find expression. Expression of praise is also a choice. I said a thankful heart is a choice and expression is a choice. And knowing that we're different and some people are more expressive than others, we all know that and understand what that means. But there's a part of the call of God that calls His people to express themselves and find ways to express that faith that's on the inside. And sometimes you have to work to overcome some of those habits and some of those natural things on the inside that it's just not that comfortable sometimes to be expressive around other people. I know that too, but I want you to know that, you know, 10 lepers, one of them came back and praised God. I noticed with the 10 lepers, they were all capable of a loud crying out, you know, but only one of them seemed to be able to come back and cry out praise to God. And I know usually when I talk about worship and praise and singing, you know, I know sometimes I have good conversation with people, Pastor, but you don't know, I just don't feel comfortable. You know, I don't feel comfortable singing. You know, I'm not sure what to do with that. I used not to either, and I understand it. But I have to say, you have to work sometimes to condition yourselves in order to express verbally what's going on inside in your heart. And sometimes it's a matter of just taking the step and singing out and praising God. You know, a lot of people say to me, "Well, Pastor, I don't have a voice or I don't have words." And you know, sometimes it's kind of the same people that really don't have a lot of trouble doing other talking. And I wonder, is that really I can't or I'm not willing to? Sometimes that can be a part of what we're used to. And, you know, we would sometimes rather just sit back and watch other people do that, you know. It always gets me when I hear people say, you know, nobody's singing in the church, you know. And it's usually people that tell me that are people that aren't, usually, you know. You know, and why, you know, or, you know, they're just sitting there not doing anything. Hey, don't you see that, Pastor? And my eyes aren't that good for, you know, certain rows back. But, you know, I think, really, I just wonder if when we read all these scriptures, if God might want to say something to me about my choice of thanksgiving and praise. And am I choosing, really, to honor God the best way I can? I mean, that's really the question this morning. I'm thinking as I close this message a little bit about these words about praise and worship. And I know we're all different and all that. But I guess the question is, are you absolutely doing your very best to honor God with your praise, with your worship, with your heart and your spirit? And if you come before God and ask Him, He'll show you what's right and best for you. Let me read one more passage from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. It says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name." God does call us if we have lips and we have a voice, and I think probably everybody here does, as far as I know. Some maybe not as strong as others and all those things. But you know, whatever you have, are you giving it to God? Whatever you have today, are you giving it to God and saying, God, I want to respond to how great you are, the mightiness of God. You might have a little to give, and you know, I think how Jesus can take whatever we have, whether it's a little bit of faith, whether it's a little bit of hope, whether it's a little bit of a voice, whether it's a little bit of an influence, whatever it is, and if we bring it to him like the little boy brought his fishes and his loaves of bread, it's amazing what God can do when we give him what we have. And I think that's so true about worship. When we give him our best, God can bless that. And God knows our hearts, and he knows where we're at. So what is your fruit basket this morning? How is your fruit basket of praise? Would you go to that next slide, please, Nate? What is your fruit basket of thanksgiving to God? There's so many different things that you can be thankful for today. Is your heart full of thanks to him? I'm going to watch another video, about 2 minutes, and then I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to pray together. Spirit, it's a lot about attitude. This past week, when I was reading the story of the 10 lepers several times, you know, saying, God, what do you say to me? I thought, oh boy, this leper, he should really be thankful. Man, God delivered him from this terrible disease that made him an outcast. Well, sure, he should be thankful. And God said, Wayne, you've never had leprosy. How much more thankful should you be? Think of all we have. I don't want to be too casual about a thankful spirit to God. He deserves so much of our worship and praise and adoration. He's great and a mighty God. Just stand as we pray. Dear God, I thank you today for who you are. I pray that my heart would choose to be thankful. That my heart would choose to be responsive to you and to praise you in whatever ways you allow in my life, that I would live a thankful life before you, a life of gratitude. That people would see in my life a joy because of who God is. Help us, I pray, God. And I pray that our worship would be acceptable to you. That I wouldn't expect someone else to do it for me, or someone else to do something, or even you to do something else, God. But because of who you are, that I'd be so in love with you and I want to respond to you, that I would give my very best to be all that you want me to be, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.